Hello and welcome to episode 119 of Duelist Community Raw. I am not taking that little friend I got who's always yapping random shit in my ear so goddamn seriously, because I don't have to. And this thought that I've always had that one day it's gonna go away, one day it's gonna stop. I'm not as fixated on that desire for it to stop so much anymore. I just don't have to pay it so much attention, don't have to fight it so hard. And it's kind of interesting how quiet it'll start to get when there isn't that fight.
I'm just excited to be here, honestly, because when you stop listening to that ongoing little voice in the background, what you find is that reality is really quite incredible. That the experience of existence itself is awe-inspiring. And that it isn't the kind of mystery that you want to solve. It's the kind of mystery that you just appreciate for the fact that it's an ongoing revelation. You can't ever get to the answer, what is existence? But you can sit and appreciate how much existence is.
And with all of that said, I hope you enjoy this live stream that is Duelist Community Raw, episode 119.
And here we are for another episode of Duelistic Unity Raw. It's really interesting because I often say this, but it's absolutely true. When I'm not on the podcast, I'm generally pretty quiet and goofy. Like, I just do my thing, whatever it is I'm doing around the house, whether it's cleaning or going for a walk or hanging out with my cat or talking to my daughter or watching a movie or exercising, could be anything really. And I'm just having the greatest time because there's no reason for me not to be having that great time. And it's not that there couldn't be reasons. I could sit and think about all of the things that I could be tense about. I could think about all of the stresses. I could think about all of the challenges, all of the unknowns, all of the things that I have to face moving forward in order to deal with my life and continue to quote unquote survive in the world. But it doesn't help me any. Like, I can only do what I'm doing when I'm doing it. And when I'm not able to do anything, it seems almost ridiculous to worry about the things that I can't do yet. It's one thing to recognize them, to go, right, that's probably something I'm going to have to take care of. But it's another thing to go, yeah, that's definitely something I'm going to have to take care of. It's a very different thing because you can kind of plan, but you can plan for a lot of things that never happen. How much of our time do we waste thinking about things that never actually end up happening? And that's all time that we could have been enjoying where we were. And I don't mean enjoying it like, woo, it's a party all the time. I mean enjoying it in that at least there is very little conflict. You're not getting in your own way. So I'm going to pass it over to Andrew.
Yeah, well said. I had a situation this morning that was very similar to a situation I had a couple days ago, where a couple days ago I was just like exhausted, and I don't like sleeping in very much. Like, typically my schedule is like going to bed relatively early and waking up early. I like that time in the morning to where it's quiet, where I can just like not even open up my phone and just do stuff on my computer, whether, you know, all different sorts of things. And this morning, set my alarm for 4:15, was feeling very gung-ho about, you know, getting a lot of stuff done. Had like like eight things that I was like, all right, I'm going to get all this done, you know, before we get on these calls and whatnot. And I didn't realize, and I put my phone on the other side of my room because like it forced me to get out of bed. And so I wake up and there's light coming through my window and I'm like, that's not what it looks like when it's 4:15 in the morning. Fuck, I definitely slept through. I realized my sound was like super low on my phone. So I just didn't hear my alarm and I woke up at 7:30. And the other day, similar thing happened. And I kind of mulled over it the other day for like a little while. And I still had time to like do things, not as much time, obviously. But this morning, I just didn't do that. I just didn't think about what should have happened, what I wished had happened, what I wanted to happen. Similar to what you're saying, when, you know, you're doing something, it's like there's only so much you can do. Like, the reality is at 7:30, I can no longer have woken up at 4:15. Like, that ship has fucking sailed. And no matter how badly, I wanted to have that time. And so I looked at the things I wanted to do, and I was like, all right, these are the things I really want to do. I wanted to get some clips out. I wanted to edit some other stuff. I wanted to do some other things. I was like, all right, this other stuff isn't as vital, wasn't at the top of my list. I'm just going to do this. And like, I just wasn't thinking about myself so much. And then it's like, it's just kind of trippy how when you're not thinking about yourself, there aren't those same feelings there. Like, of course, all different sorts of feelings come up, but they don't have the same gravity or weight or like length of time that they last. Like, they don't carry on. It's just kind of like feeling, and then, all right, oh shit, I'm thinking about myself. And that's not the entirety of the feeling that's being felt, but it's like a lot of what's prolonging it, a lot of what's just stopping me from doing other stuff. And like, yeah, I could sit there and beat the fuck out of myself for doing whatever thing at any given time. Like, that's always an option, and I can always come up with a reason to do it. And if I can't think of a reason in the immediacy, I can think of a reason from, you know, a couple years ago, and then beat myself up for some shit I did then. It's like, I could dig into all sorts of stuff and look at that and come up with reasons to beat the fuck out of myself and beat myself up. But like, that's then what I'm doing right now, as opposed to the things that I wish I had been doing that I was then beating myself up for. So it doesn't really make much sense. But again, like, kind of like we were talking about yesterday, like, it gives us something to do besides just doing the thing that we're doing in that spot of, you know, being willing to be uncertain about what it means about us, what's to come, where it's going, what it's leading to. And so, yeah. So anyway, I mean, kind of similar to what you were saying with going through things and not needing to think about stuff so much. Like, when you're doing something, you can just be doing that. And then when you're doing something else, and like, if you feel like you should be thinking about something, it's like, either do it or don't. And it sounds so cut and dry, and I'm like saying this from a spot of like not being able to, I don't know, like not doing that for a long time, like thinking about shit, or always kind of thinking about what I should be doing that's just very, very inconveniently always something different than what I'm doing. But it doesn't change anything. It just makes my experience way more difficult and not enjoyable and not fun. And then, but then there's like some fucking sadistic way of thinking that I deserve to not have a fun, enjoyable experience because of the thing that then I'm judging myself for. And it's all like this fucking full circle cycle thing within myself that I'm like doing to myself. And so taking a step back and realizing just how much we can get in our own way, like how much of an ability we have to make things more difficult for ourselves. And sometimes I can even get into the fucking convoluted idea that I'm doing myself a service by making things more difficult for myself by doing something and then thinking about myself also. And then it's like extra uncomfortable, but there's like discomforts that are just unnecessary and they make everything else more difficult. There's not so much the benefit of additionally adding on thoughts about myself or what I should be doing on top of like the thing that I'm already doing. Like, that sort of discomfort is just fucking up the ability to do something right now. And so anyway, it's like, it's funny that we do that. It's fucking wild that we have the capacity to do that, to like be doing something and constantly be thinking we should be doing something else. And like, it's always an option, but it's, again, not the only option. It's like, it's not like, I don't know, practice. I don't know. That's all. I'm going to stop now.
It's fair, because this is a live show, and as much as we can get into whatever it is we'd like to get into, it is also important to address questions from the audience from time to time. And we have a doozy. Serious question. How is anything even happening? Like, where does this experience even occur? Am I the experience, or am I the experience? Am I in the experience or am I the experience itself? It's a great question. Questions. It's a lot there. I'm going to pass it to Andrew because I'm honestly very curious about his answer. Just a note, though, we've decided we're going to finally do the commentary series on season one. We're going to be starting that this afternoon, I think at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Is that about right? 4 p.m. Eastern time, does that work for you?
Yes. Yes.
Perfect. I was going to say he's nodding yes. He's nodding yes, but he actually said yes.
I was also trying to get to my tab on the calendar and see when that was. And yeah. We can we don't have to talk scheduling in the middle of our fucking lives.
Point is, we're going to be doing the commentary series starting today, later on this afternoon, because we have nothing else to do this afternoon. We were going to do an episode of Being High, but we figured our guest didn't show up. Probably because they're high, as often as that is the case. It's a fun series to do that way. Anyway, we're going to get into a lot of these questions. Where is this happening? What the fuck? So do check out season one if you haven't, and otherwise we're going to be checking it out ourselves, and you can join us there. But Andrew, where is this happening? What the fuck is happening, man?
And I enjoy how... Now, I don't know. I feel like with questions like this, like I'm more willing to just take it in whatever direction first comes to mind. Cause like there's not a fucking, like we don't have some satisfactory answer necessarily, but like there's a lot to be said about that. So like, where does this experience even occur? Like it occurs here. And so I don't know. The first, I'll just go run with this. Like here, where is that? Well, that's kind of dependent upon how you define it, and it's not objective. Like it here is subjective. So here, you know, you think about here, I could think here is sitting in this chair, I could think here is in a house, I could think here is in a state, I could think here is in the US, I could think here is on Earth, I could think here is in this universe, galaxy. Like there's no borders to here. It's just where I feel comfortable ending here. And so where's experience happen? It's always happening here. And it's just where I want to draw that line that allows me to think like I'm here separate from some other here. And then you could call that there, you know, pointing to just, I'm pointing to a wall, but like outside is there, but like, where's the line between here and there? And that's where things get a little bit, you know, uncomfortable. You can't say where is here and there. And so the experience that you're having, like it necessitates, just like here necessitates some idea, some conceptual idea of a line, like just an arbitrary made up line between here and there that doesn't actually exist. You also, in order to think of yourself as something separate from everything else, needs some kind of arbitrary conceptual idea that allows you to think that you're something separate from anything else. And so when you're willing to look at that and question it and realize like, oh, that idea that's allowing me to think that I'm something separate from everything else is just an assumption as well, no differently than the assumption that between here and there and the line that you're drawing in the sand, that you could then just move a little bit and be like, okay, well, here is here. And understanding like that things aren't disconnected, like the molecules that make Andrew up aren't disconnected from molecules in my environment, it becomes very much not this objective thing that you can look at. And when you're willing to realize that, oh, that idea is just a conceptual assumption that allows me to feel a little bit more comfortable in the sense that I feel like I know something without that there, then what's telling you that you're something in reality separate from reality? And so the lines start to get hazy. And that's where I'll kick off this question that I think we could probably talk about for hours.
I'll pass and we have talked about this for hours. It's the majority of season two. Absolutely, because it's such a damn good question. It's just, what is the here? Like, what the fuck is existence? And this is a great question, because when you it depends on how you look at it. When you break it down in terms of material reality and you keep breaking it down farther, far enough and far enough and far enough and far enough and far enough, it eventually just becomes nothing. And then nothing somehow vibrates in potential in various different ways and interacts with other nothings that's vibrating in potential in various different ways, all of which are happening in a place that doesn't actually exist anywhere because the universe is non-local. And so this is why I always compare it to a dream. So what is existence? Well, it's you. That's really the only thing you can point back to. It's you. And it's like, well, what am I? Existence. And that's the unsatisfying answer about this, because as soon as you try to conceptualize either of those things, you lose the feel for what it actually means. Because it's you. You are existence. It couldn't happen without you. That's very much the case. It could not happen without you. And you could say, well, am I God? Well, it depends what you mean by that. Do you mean control? Do you mean the concept? Or do you mean, are you reality itself? Because that is the actual existence of God. Just reality itself, the awareness that you are reality itself, in fact, because it changes everything that you do. It changes how you interact with everything. You are immediately more unifying in terms of your intentions, because you're not in competition with everything. You are everything.
Yeah, and so for the part of the question, how is anything even happening? Like, it's... fuck, I kind of read that. And I'm like, fuck, I don't know exactly where to take this. First, like, the how isn't as relevant, because like for anything to be happening, it's almost like even something happening is like separating the experience to some degree. Like things are happening and we can point to things happening, but it's not separate from you either. And so everything is just this happening, you happening, you playing out, but again, not the idea, you know, not the one that you're thinking about ever. It's just what's left. Like you're looking at what's happening. So the how isn't as relevant of a question. And like, I don't like, can you say how anything is happening? Like, I don't know. It's a great question. And I was like gung-ho on coming up with something. I was like, I'll come up, something will come out as I'm talking. And I'm like, fuck, how is anything happening? It's like, I guess looking at, if you look at time, or like this idea of, or the realization of eternity and like no beginning and no end, there wasn't something, like nothing could not be happening because it always has here and now. And so without a beginning and without an end, it's just what is. It's like an inevitability of existence, reality. Like, I don't know, the word happening, I'm kind of like getting caught on that a little bit.
Yeah, because it's tricky. This is why duality is really interesting. Okay, so nothing is happening. Like, that's the important thing, because there's nothing that could be happening because there's nothing to happen, right? None of this is real in the sense that, you know, it exists outside of awareness, right? It is awareness. And so awareness and reality are one and the same, and that's where it gets really weird, right? So none of this is actually happening, but everything could happen in potential. If you had just existence itself, and that existence was nothing else but just sheer potential, what could that existence be? Well, it could be every type of universe that could ever come into existence. It would be every moment in every life that would ever come into existence. It's every single moment in time that could ever come into existence in potential. In potential. But you see, right there, you think about it, it's like, right, well, right, if it's existing in potential, it's not happening. Right. Except to the people that exist in that potential. See, to them, even for it to be potential, it has to be reality for them. See, for us, this is reality when in fact it's just a potential moment. But because it's potential in reality itself, because it is reality, the potential for it is reality. So we experience it as though it's absolutely real. But in the grand wherewithal of nothingness, it's not happening at all. It just happens in potential.
And that is where the unsatisfactory answers come in, because it's like it's nothing happening, but then it's everything in potential. So it's like, is it happening? Well, yes and no. Like, to you, as real as you see yourself, it is, but it's also not, because it's not something that's, because it's still something in potential. And so it kind of needs, and so, all right, this actually, and I wanted to, this kind of reminds me of something we were talking about a couple days ago that I've been wanting to get into. And it's along the same vein of needing an idea of yourself, some thing telling you that you're something separate in order to experience certain feelings, emotions. Like, I kind of need some sort of story, you know, like Ray and I were talking the other day, and he was like, you know, think of a time you felt like you were judged. And immediately I think of a time, and like, there's the story that I come up with that has to do with this character. And then it allows me to have that feeling of like, you know, the compression or seemingly some uncomfortable feeling that I say is the feeling of being judged. But like, anyone listening can also think about a time they felt judged, and they feel their feeling of like what their interpretation of what they feel like it is to be judged. And we probably experience that on an entire spectrum. Like, some people experience it very, very intensely, and it may actually trigger certain responses. And some people, like, maybe who don't take it as seriously, are like, oh yeah, I felt judged. But like, you're willing to see, you know, where the other person was coming from. You're willing to look at it in full picture instead of just in silo. But anyway, that's kind of besides the point. It's you need that idea in order to have certain feelings or experiences, and yet it's still, you're still something that's just in potential that's happening. But and it's like, how willing are you to not take that as seriously? But then how much does that play a role in the way that you live, in the way that you interact with people, in the way the decisions that you make, the things that you hold on to, the things that you try and strive for or become, how much you see other people as other people then dictates how much you feel those things. And so part of me wonders if, it's not to say you have to go through certain things in order to let them go or realize that maybe that's not necessary, but like, the potential to feel judged is always there, but it depends on how you see yourself, on how you see the world, on how you see reality. But bringing it back to the first thing I said, with like the necessity of a story to feel certain things is interesting, because without that story, it's harder to have the experience of judgment if I'm not seeing myself as something separate that could be judged. Like, it's a lot harder to have that experience or know what it's like or interpret whatever that feeling of judgment is.
Well, it's very much like that video that somebody had sent me last year, I think it was, and it was two toddlers in different situations. But in one situation, the parent would look at the toddler and say their name and point at them over and over and over again, just saying their name. And the kid started to cry immediately. Like, why are they pointing at me? What the hell is happening? And then they did the same thing with another kid who didn't in any way identify with the name. The kid just kind of looked at them like, the fuck are you up to? And then just went back to its playing. Like, it didn't matter to it at all. So it wasn't the action that mattered, but the attachment to the idea that mattered. It was the attachment to this identity, this name. That's me. They're pointing at me. Therefore, I'm being judged. Where the other kid is just like, that's weird. They keep saying this name and pointing at me, but it's not me. So I don't fucking care. and that was it. But that's the point, is that we get caught up just in the identity. We get caught up in the idea, and we don't recognize how easy it is to slip into that. Because again, it's this is another good way to go back to what we were saying earlier about potential being reality, right? Like, you may not actually be being judged, but you could be being judged. See? So it's a potential reality. But as soon as you actually think it's reality, it's real. It hasn't stopped being potential, but it's also reality to you. Right? And that's what I mean about each moment existing in potential, but to those experiencing that moment, it's absolutely real.
And so it's like, how badly do I want to feel certain? And if I really, really, really want to feel certain, then if I, you know, for example, see someone whispering and glance over at me, instead of just that potentially being judgment or being complimentary or being something that has nothing to fucking do with me, they could have actually been looking past me at another person, kind of like when someone waves and you're like, hey, and you're like, oh shit, they were not waving at me. Like, it could be anything. But if I really, really, really want to be sure about something, right there, like you said, like, I'll turn that potential into something that's real and then feel everything that comes with that, and be sure that they're saying something about my fucking cheek. I was like, what thing could I pick on my face? It was like, that cheek's probably the word, because that could be my other cheek also. Anyway, they could be talking about that in any way, you know? And so as soon as I want to be certain, I'm going to pick something that maybe I judge myself. I don't judge myself for my cheeks. That's not that. I was trying to pick something that I don't necessarily or have never judged myself for. And I'm like, fuck, what the fuck? I could have picked forehead. Like, Jesus Christ. Anyway, like, it's like, as soon as I want to feel sure of something, I'll just assume that they're judging me for something I already judged myself for, be sure of that, come up with a whole story. And that's kind of what we were talking about in our movie review with A Beautiful Mind yesterday, with schizophrenia. Like, the desire to be sure of something and be sure that something exists. Like, if everything is in potential at all times, then we don't really ever know anything with certainty at all until I make it real for me. And so everything does exist in that potential. And even I was talking with someone yesterday, they asked just a silly question. Like, if you had to pick one sauce to use for the rest of your life, only thing you could use for food, like, which would you be? And I was like, I don't know, barbecue or ketchup or something. They're like, no, it's red sauce. And I was like pasta sauce? It's like, that seems kind of limited, right? Like, pasta and pizza and like maybe a meatball sub. And they're like, no, it's the best one. And I was like, all right, first of all, that is an entirely subjective opinion about something. It's going to be based upon what someone likes, like what kind of foods they like. If someone really likes like Greek food, for example, maybe tzatziki will be a sauce that they choose, because then they could eat it with their Greek food that they will be willing to eat every day. So, and then I went a step further and I was like, and at the same time, you don't know what something tastes like to someone else. Like, you could bite into a piece of chicken and describe it, but that's the best you can do. And someone else could describe it to you, but you don't actually know what that chicken tastes like to that person, or the bread, or the, you know, or the sauces or whatever. Like, we don't know that. Like, we don't actually know how anyone else experiences reality, sees things, tastes things, hears things, interacts with things. And that's like, oh, fuck. So I am really alone in my perception of reality, in my assumptions about things, in my experience. Like, my experience is entirely my own. The way I hear things, the way I interact, the way I see people, the way I see colors, the way I taste things. And so, but if I want to be certain about something, I'll just assume that everyone else tastes things in the same exact way that I taste things, or interact with things the way I interact with things, just so it makes, allows me to think that I'm not alone. So anyway, it's all like everything being in that potential at all times. It's like, I'm the one making it real. I'm the one assuming this isn't a dream. I'm the one assuming all of these things, because I'm making that, it's like a trade-off. Like, I want to trade the discomfort of uncertainty for the discomfort of false certainty, because I don't know, it's more familiar. People around me are doing that a lot. It's like what we grew up wanting to do, is like, be sure of things, to know things, to know something. And so we'll trade all of the discomforts that we experience, all of the issues we go through, struggles, like most of them are based on that trade-off and wanting to be sure of something, just like wanting to be sure that, you know, someone whispering something is someone judging us for something. And the only things we could come up with for reasons they would judge us are reasons that they would judge ourselves. And for the example Ray used, like, if someone judges you for something you don't judge yourself for, it's like, if that's ever happened to you, you kind of are like, what are you talking about? That's kind of silly. Just like if someone says a name and gets your name wrong, it's not felt until they say you're something you identify as, and then all of a sudden it's felt. And the other thing, which is interesting, is if someone does say another person's name, if you are very caught up in, you know, fearing judgment or whatever, it almost makes you feel a tiny bit better if someone else is judged, just because you're like, oh, it's not me. And if that person's doing that, it's like this subtle little drop for them, and it's like, okay, it's not me, I'm in the clear now. And you feel a little bit better because of that, if you're very much involved in measuring yourself based on judgment and what other people think of you, or what other people think of other people. And then that judgment goes hand in hand, the judgment you feel about yourself, and then the judgment you do towards others. Cause that's, you know, if you're taking your opinion very seriously, it's going to be tough to not take other people's opinion very seriously. And so there's a lot of certainty to be let go of if you don't want to feel those same sorts of feelings, and just be willing to be unsure. Because even if someone does say your name and judges you in a specific way, you're not even sure why or where it comes from, or the way that they see you, or the feelings that they're going through that they need to, you know, judge someone else in order to feel a little bit better. But yeah, everything's a fucking assumption. And it's so funny. Like, we don't know anything about anyone, like the way someone else experiences reality. But in that, you know, there is the crossover, just in the uncertainty.
Well, I want to say, first of all, I appreciate the question. I appreciate where the question's coming from, just because, well, it can be detrimental to want to figure out existence. It's also incredibly beneficial to wonder about existence. Like, it's one thing to need that answer. It's another thing to just kind of sit back and marvel and go, okay, now I this is what I used to assume, and I assumed this, and I've assumed these things. But if I don't assume those things, what's left? and you're left with a whole array of possibilities. You know, for me, the fact that all moments in time exist within potential makes a great deal of sense. And the fact that this experience being dualistic implies that there will always be a moment that came before and after this moment that I'm experiencing. That's a part of our dualistic experience, is the perspective of a before and an after. And so each moment that exists in potential also exists with a before and an after in potential. Right. And we know that looking forward, we know that all of the possible moments going into the future existed within potential. I could potentially say one thing. I could potentially say something else. It's not hard for us to fathom that from this moment onward, but it's hard for us to fathom all possible moments in our entire existence being potential moments and all of our lives being potential streams through all of those moments, potential choices, potential influences. And that's why there are infinite universes and infinite timelines and all that, because all of this exists within eternity. That's why it exists within eternity, is because you need all that time just to express everything that could possibly exist. So it's a fun question, but that said, you can be heavenly minded and no earthly good, which means that you can get so caught up in all of this wonderful stuff, really, it really is just interesting as shit, that you forget about the experience you're having now. It's not so much why is this happening, but what can I do with it? And not what does it mean about me, but what can I do with this? Don't have to do anything else. Just enjoy it. Just experience it. Just get into it. But that said, the deeper you go in the other direction, and I honestly, this is something that in my own experience has been the case, the more empathy you start to get for everything else, because you start to really become awestruck by existence itself, by the great mystery, by the fact that it is absolutely unexplainable and that we're all sharing that experience. And so while it's important not to get lost in it, it's also important to dive into it from time to time, in my opinion.
Likewise. Yeah. The back and the forth, balance of the conversation. That's why I really liked, I was going through we got our Spotify Wrapped thing for the end of the year, and the top category for our listeners that they listen to outside of Dualistic Unity was comedy. I was like, that's awesome. It's not like religion, self-help, mental health, all that. It's just comedy. Cause like that's the balance of things. And it's been fun. Cause I think, I don't know, this is why I'm really excited to get into the commentary series. Cause like early on in the podcast, certainly for myself, it was all about like questioning reality and like everything, just wondering. And obviously like I'm a component of that, but it was very much like outside of me, which again, isn't the same. I don't know. It's not saying what I mean it to say, but because I think the first realization I had was like, oh, I'm not the story. You know, I'm not what I think I am. I'm not my past. I'm not that thing. But it was very much one side of things, because okay, that releases some of the weight of the feelings that come with believing that you are something separate. But it's been like a very much an overtime throughout all of Dualistic Unity realization. Okay, well, if I'm not what I think, then that means that I'm everything else. And like, I have to kind of think that I'm just this in order to keep at bay the recognition that I'm also everything else. But at the same time, it's like saying that you're everything, or believing that you're everything, or talking about how you're everything isn't it. And it doesn't change, because like you're still being everything no matter what you're doing. And like, so you still have influence, but even the statement like I'm everything is kind of like dualistic in the statement itself. Like you can't even really say it. You can talk about it, sure, and point to it, but it's going to depend. And that's, I don't know, like both the beauty and the frustration of this, like being talking about a paradox and being willing to talk about a paradox is like, there's not an end to it. There's not a way you can say it. Cause if someone's, again, like you don't know how someone's going to perceive something. And if someone defines themselves as their assumptions about their meat suit and the things that they've done and their past and their story, like saying you're everything is just going to, you can maintain very much a story. And anytime you say you, it's like, all these stories and thoughts come up. But it's also not about discounting the experience of you and the opportunities that you have to do things right now. It's just a constant, it's like a constant oscillation or balance, or, and at the same time, none of those things. It's just you right now. And the more you can dig into, you know, the wondering about things, it can inform that stuff. And it's a fun thing to do. And then it's like, as I'm talking, I'm like trying to get to a point where like I say some thing that's like a fucking answer, but there's not that. So it's just the continued process of you happening. And there's ways to take that experience very seriously and believe that you know certain things about yourself, about other people, about things that are going on, or the willingness to let go of that need to be certain about things and just continue on in that way. And it's still just you continuing to unfold, continuing on. There's not a right way to do it. It's just there's certain considerations that come into play. The more you're willing to let go of that certainty, the more you're willing to prioritize your experience right now. And that's not this massive burden of a thing. Like, it's just paying attention to where you're at and being yourself, which is just not trying to be something. Like, not thinking you should be doing something other than what you're doing, not trying to distract yourself, not trying to necessarily be sure of how things are going or how you're doing in a situation, because you can't be, because all of those desires to know something are just distractions. They're just cutting down on your ability to be here. And so as more and more of me prioritizes being here, it's like things are going to change. Can we say how that's going to be? No, of course not. We can't say how things are going to play out. It's uncertain. That's kind of the whole thing. And so it's interesting when you talk to someone, they're like, all right, so you're pointing out all this stuff about reality and the world or things going on. Like, what's your plan? What's your MO? Like, what's your 5, 10 step, 10 year process plan to quote unquote fix reality? And that's part of it too, is like, there's nothing to fix. Reality isn't broken. There's nothing wrong with what's going on right now. It's just, there's obviously a lot of suffering happening, a lot of things playing out, but there's not a, those are all a product of the mentality of trying to control things, trying to figure out things out, pointing to things and saying, this is broken, this needs to be fixed, this is wrong, I need to write this. It's like, who's writing it? Who's so sure that it's wrong? Who's so sure about the way to make it right? And it's that mentality that all this suffering and shit is like a product of. And so it's like, there can't be a fucking plan, there can't be a right way to do things. It's just being willing to let go of all of that false certainty and see what happens and keep seeing what happens, but not because that's the right thing to do either. It's just prioritizing your experience here and now, like this experience here and now, not how you look, not the things, how you're perceived, not how you're viewing your life, feeling good or feeling bad, just like literally this right now, over and over and over, relaxing a little bit because you're not so sure one way or the other, because it's the certainty that causes us to tense up and be rigid and not be relaxed. And then because we're not relaxed, we feel like we have to control things and be certain of things. But it's all based on this false certainty that I think I know what's going on, that I think I know when that person glances over at me and looks at me, that they're judging me for the thing that I judge myself for. And as we're willing to be like, I don't know, like that's a step right there. That then shifts so much more than you can possibly fathom, but it's not doing it for everyone else or to fix reality or to save the world or to save anyone else. It's just willingness to take responsibility and not even save yourself. Just recognize that there's nothing that you have to save about yourself. And it's like, oh, okay. Well, then I can relax and just do stuff from that spot. And it's like, yeah.
Simple, not easy. It's always what it comes down to. It's simple. It's just putting it in an application. And I think what gets to us is just that there is so much application. We're just like, Jesus, when am I finally going to get this? It's like, stop asking. It's just getting in the way. It's just making this harder. You know, just apply what you've learned, and then apply what you've learned and keep applying what you've learned. And if, as long as you're not judging your progress, that's what you're going to do. As long as you're not holding on to this idea that you're not making progress, you will always be making progress. Because you're not clinging to some past version of yourself. And so, simple, not easy. But would it be worth it if it was easy? Like, there would be no sense of clarity at the end of all of it. There would be no sense of relief. There would be, the pendulum wouldn't swing. This is why it's important to somewhat be appreciative of your challenges and your obstacles, regardless of the fact that it feels like hell. And I say that after spending a lot of time in hell. It really does inform heaven to a very large degree, but and as well as your ability to empathize with other people still in the pit. We have to end here. We're going to be continuing on with a tier two call on Patreon in 15 minutes. If you can join us, please do. Patreon.com/dualisticunity. We don't cater to advertisers and whatnot, or at least not the shitty advertisers, the ones that make you think that you need something to be better. We don't like those advertisers. And so a lot of our continued survival comes down to our Patreon supporters. And we are incredibly grateful to them. Thank you so much, everyone. We're going to see you on Patreon in a few minutes. Thank you.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I totally forgot this is a 45-minute live stream. I was thinking we had another 30. But anyway, see you on Patreon very soon. Bye, everyone.